Okay, go. This interview is part of the Women's Information Service History Project. This interview is being conducted at WIS offices located at 101 Grenfell Street, Adelaide, on Monday the 20th of March 2017. Lise Zudlin, a former employee and now volunteer at WIS, is being interviewed by Janice Bassett. Also present at the interview is Margaret Evans. Welcome, Lise.
Thank you.
Lise, could you tell me a bit about yourself, your full name, where and in what year you were born and where you grew up?
Okay, you don't really want my full name. I've got four first names, Elizabeth Katharina Benvenuta Maria. My maiden name is Henning. So that's when I was born in the Netherlands, I was the first in a very Catholic family. I was born in 1946. And I've got four younger brothers. And I went to Catholic school, to boarding school, was sent off to, because there was no Catholic secondary education in, on the island where we lived, in the southwest of the Netherlands. And then I was allowed to go to high school because I was too young to train to be a pharmacist, which is what my parents wanted, for then I could stay just in the street and they could keep an eye on me. But he helped me and I, well, went to high school. And for I had to start working to that afterwards to help support my brother's education. And when I was 21, I left home, very idealistic, and I wanted to go into community aid abroad and those sort of things. So I started nurse's education, did that for a few years. And then I became an au pair in Sweden and did several office jobs, moved to Amsterdam, and through my contacts with the medical committee against the Vietnam War, I came into community medicine, to work into community medicine, and then later on in community health centers. And that was all before I met my husband. I met Fons in that same suburb where I lived, and amongst the protests, we were very protesting in those days in the early 70s. In 81 we emigrated to Australia.
So what was your reason for coming to Australia?
It was a selection that in the first instance we wanted to go to New Zealand, but the government didn't want to support us because they said there was too much unemployment there at the time. And they gave us the options Canada, Brazil or Australia. Canada looked very cold. Brazil, we'd just seen documentaries about how they were burning down the forests and things like that, and we didn't want to be part of that either. So then it became Australia.
Oh, that's great. So when you came to Australia, did you immediately start employment with WIS, or did you do something before that?
Yeah, I did several jobs before that. I arrived on a Friday, and in that Saturday's advertiser, there was a job advertised here at Community Medicine based at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. And that was a similar job as I'd done in Amsterdam, and I got that job. And I did that for a couple of years, and then one of my colleagues became the Women's Advisor Health in the Health Commission at the time. It was not the Health Department yet. And she asked me if I wanted to come along as her assistant, which I did. Worked there for a few years, and then went to Southern Women's Community Health Centre, worked there for 12 years while our daughter went through her education. And then I got a job in 1999, got a job at WIS as Community Information Worker.
Okay, and how long did you work with WIS?
From 1999 to my retirement in 2011.
And what sort of work did you do? Or can you tell me a little about the work that you did, with the work you undertook with WIS?
Yes, in the first instance, I did a fair bit with the technical side of things, where we started up the computer training and all those sort of things. And we always had to wait very long for technical assistance, so I did some TAFE education to at least know where to start troubleshooting when something happened. Through my background, I was very involved with women's health, so I became part of the female genital mutilation project based at the Women's Health statewide. I worked with the domestic violence action groups, recorded their annual meetings and things like that. And I was also the secretary of the Women's Health Network of South Australia when that was established. I'm not sure of the year, but it was, I think it might have been around 2007. Well, the need was felt very much for support in the family court. In the first instance, the Women's Legal Service had a worker who provided that and who was very active at that, but when she left, the whole thing collapsed a bit. So Women's Health and the Domestic Violence Services and the Victim Support Service all came together because we still kept getting lots of requests from women to get some help when they had to go to the court.
Yes.
So I was asked to set up that program. We had a project worker writing the program, and then I started my first training of him. Caroline was part of the first training, and I think Margaret was part of the second training, I think. Yeah, second or third, yeah.
So what's Caroline's last name?
Caroline Pascoe.
So yeah. She was part of, very much involved with
She was a volunteer at the Women's Information Service and expressed an interest to be involved with the court support as well. So she was one of the volunteers training in the first program.
Okay, yeah. So you, with the court support, your initial involvement there, did you continue that involvement over from 2007 through to when you retired?
Yes. I became a volunteer coordinator, ran training for new volunteers, and had the regular contact with the courts and the domestic violence services. And
And have you over that period from 2007 to say when you left in 2011, or even now as you're sort of volunteering, has this been a very successful program?
It's definitely is. A lot of women have expressed that they're really thankful for our support, and we've got lots of goodwill from the court as well. And we've noticed also over the years that in the beginning we said we would support women from different cultural backgrounds who had been involved in an abusive situation. And then later on we started getting requests from women who hadn't been necessarily in a very, very abusive situation, but still asked for help. But I find that tendency being that it's more and more very severe abusive situations that women ask us for our help.
Yeah. And has the number of volunteers that you initially... Has that grown as well?
Yeah.
To what's the extent of the growth? Has there been?
Don't ask me. I don't know how many volunteers there are. No. For I know, quite a group of women have been trained again.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you have to ask Maddie or Shannon.
Yeah. What the current status is?
Yeah.
Okay. So, just in terms of the people that you work with at WIS, Can you tell me a bit about those people, particularly what your memories might be of the times that you shared over the period of time that you were working as an employee?
So you mean the colleagues or the managers?
Both.
Yeah.
But the colleagues, that you work with.
We worked very well together. It was always quite a happy team until there were many changes of management and government and the tensions build up, and it was more difficult to work there. Not that we didn't support one another. I don't mean that at all. I'm still friendly with most of my ex-colleagues.
Yeah.
It's just that it's very hard to guarantee and maintain some continuity if you don't know from one year to the next whether you still be in existence, who the next manager will be. I made a quick I did a quick look at, I had at least six managers in the time I was here, and some of them only lasted a year.
So that's in a period of 12 years.
Thereabouts.
So who were the six managers that you
worked with? Well, I started with Linda Forrest.
Yes.
And in those days, there were difficulties with some staff as well, like some staff. Quite a few staff had resigned, and that's why I managed to come in, for it was very hard to find a job at the Women's Information Service normally. And then after a while, Linda worked for the Red Cross in Fiji after a calamity there. And Sandra Dan, the manager of the manager of the Working Women's Centre, was our manager for 18 months, and that was a great time. She's great to work with. And I'm not quite sure whether it was first Wendy Thompson or Sophie Alawash who became manager then. I think it was first Wendy and then Sophie. And then we had a woman called Carolyn, and I've forgotten her surname, and a woman called Georgia.
Quite a bit of a turnover during that period.
And women with different visions, different interests, and depending on their backgrounds, what they thought would be a very good thing for the Women's Information Service to do.
Okay, so that's great. I just want to move on a bit to so particularly around the internet. When you started in 99, was the internet available for use by women?
We had the CISA system, the Community Information Service database on our computers.
Yes.
So sometimes we look together with women to look up for resources for referral. But most of the time we did it. And it was not until a bit later that we began the internet access programs.
And did that change the way you worked yourself, the way you worked? And also, did that change in terms of being able to provide greater range of information for women who came in?
Well, I thought one of the major changes was that women could look things up for themselves and not necessarily be dependent on the information we provided. I always think that's a good thing. It's very empowering when you can do it yourself. So
at that time when the internet came in, were there other changes that were introduced that improved the way women could access information? Or was it?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, with the internet coming in meant that, you know, women could come in and utilise the, well, find information for themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whether there were any other changes that occurred around about that time that also improved the access for women coming in and using information.
Well, we started the internet training program for women to learn how to use the internet.
Yes.
And a lot of women were interested in that at the time, yes.
And I would imagine that a lot of those women wouldn't have had access to the internet to the internet at home.
And most of them didn't have access to the internet at home. A lot of them would have children who'd moved away from home to other places in Australia or overseas. And it was just a very good thing especially for a lot of older women to stay in touch with their relatives that way and, be able to see pictures of their grandkids and whatever. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier a lot of the programs that you were involved in or a lot of the numerous government initiatives, like with legal service and with
domestic violence.
And I understand that WIS collaborated with the government on a number of initiatives. Were you involved in or organising any other programs at your time with WIS? I know you mentioned we've talked about the court support. Were there any other significant programs where you can tell me a little about the work that you did with them?
That was the majority of my work, for it was quite a full-time job to be volunteer coordinator and do training programs and also supervise volunteers with the normal phone services and in the shop front.
And with the shop front, when you started with WIS, whereabouts was WIS located?
They had just moved from Kintore Avenue to the Station Arcade, and we were there for quite some time, and there were several changes of government and departments that were responsible for us. And then we were going to move to another place in North Terrace, and there were big plans, thousands of dollars were spent on setting it all up, and we were going there to have a look, and it looked quite inviting. And then there was a change of government again. So then in the end, we ended up in Grenfell Street here next door, 99 Grenfell Street. Yeah.
And then when did they move? When did you move to 101 Grenfell Street? Was that a recent?
I haven't been part of that, for that was after my retirement.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Just want to touch on now, ask you a little bit about the clients, the people who use the WIS services. What involvement did you have with the women who use the WIS services over the years that you've worked here?
Quite a bit of involvement, and in the beginning a lot of older women and also quite well-to-do women use the Women's Information Service. And depending on who the workers were, quite a few women from non-English speaking backgrounds, or called women, or whatever you want to call them, use the service. And I found over the years, when we had some changes of information staff, we got more involvement from younger women. For that lacked very much in the beginning. It was
mainly older women who used the service to begin with.
Yeah.
So the the age profile has changed over the years?
The age profile has changed, but also I think the economic profile for it's over the years it became more and more women asking for financial assistance, housing assistance, domestic violence assistance. Yeah. In a similar way as when I worked at in Southern Women's Inn, no longer in Christie's Beach,
yes.
The demand from women in domestic violence situations and in financial hard circumstances was very normal there. And when I first moved to Women's Information Service, I found their perils quite futile compared to the sort of thing.
The issues that were being faced with other women down south.
So, but that changed over the years too. And then there were the things she dreaded, the calls she dreaded, like help for to find housing and help to find that, for there wasn't much for women to fall back on. And
So has that changed over the years?
I don't know
in terms
how
of
it's now.
Availability?
For now, you have the gateways and information lines that we can refer to. But in those days, we had to deal with it ourselves. When, well, you had an upside woman on the phone who was going to lose her housing. And often they knew it for quite a while, but it didn't ring until the very last moment. Yeah. And then it was very hard to find some accommodation.
So, just touching on some of the issues of the day, during the time that you worked at WIS, what were some of the important women's issues of the day? And
Well, that's what I tried to explain before.
Yeah.
At first, it was a different sort of problems that I found on a day-to-day basis, but gradually it became more women in abusive situations,
yes.
Women in housing crisis, and healthy, a lot of health issues too. And it had always been good to be able to refer to women's services, but then the women's services gradually disappeared, and that made it harder for, I should rephrase that, I think. It was very good in the beginning to be able to refer to women's doctors in women's health services.
Yes.
But because it was very hard for the women's health services to find doctors because they didn't get paid a huge amount of money. They could earn more in private enterprise. And also they got problems with their registration because it was judged that they needed to deal with a wider issue of health issues than just women's health issues. And because it was so difficult for the health centres to find women doctors, we couldn't refer to them any longer too. So we actually worked a fair bit on making lists of women doctors who were available, and KISA was a very good base for that sort of information. Yeah, so we could adopt it to the specific needs of the Women's Information Service. Yeah.
Okay. So with your current volunteering experience and reflecting on when you started work with WIS, do you think that the services that WIS provides now has changed much over the years? And if they have changed, in what ways do you think they may have changed?
Well, I'm far more distanced from I don't have first-hand experience of the day-to-day goings of WIS. I've noticed that the information service is going to be opened again from 9 to 5, We used to be open all day, every weekday from 8 to 6, and on Saturdays all day from 9 to 5 as well. So, yeah, it was...
So, back when you... Well, yeah. From 99, through that period, 99 through to 2011, you were open... the service was open five and a half days.
Yeah, from 8 to 6 on 4 days. On Tuesdays, we were open till 9 o'clock. No, till 8 o'clock, sorry. And on Saturdays, we were open all day as well.
Yeah. And those opening hours that you worked in terms of providing service, was that driven by the clients? Like there was a demand?
It came both ways. The women expected us, and the government of the day thought it was a good thing for the information service to be available to women at those times. The Tuesday evening service was and the Saturday afternoon were link-ups with lawyers at women's legal service for women's legal advice, and those times were allocated because they wanted to serve working women as well, who would be difficult for to contact a lawyer, a woman lawyer, in the daytime.
And that worked really quite well.
Yes, but in the end, the service was not used that extensively on Saturdays anymore. It was just quite busy with the legal link up. That was about it. We had some women using it in the shop front, but we had quite a few drunk guys walking in and abusing the staff as well. In the end, it was decided to cut back the services.
And that people walking in and being a little abusive, did that happen on the Saturday, did you say?
Mostly on the Saturday, yes.
So how did you deal with that?
I was actually quite good at it. I quite enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was really nice to physically just walk them back towards the door and, yeah, just not engage in the abuse they were saying and say, well, thank you, I've heard that before. And I wish you would... I want you to go now. And then they usually went, for they often... The other worker would get me in if someone came in. Well, yeah, I enjoy doing that.
It would have been an interesting experience, wouldn't it?
Another thing I haven't mentioned when I worked here was the tax help.
Yes.
So I was the first contact person for tax help and organised that from year to year.
And did that come out of... how did that come about? Was that a request... that was made, or a request that came from women who were using
it? It was a request from women to have some assistance with their taxation. Yeah. Normally you have to pay when you go to an accountant, but with the tax help service, if you're under a certain amount of income, you get the service for free. So
around about what year was that introduced as a service? Because I understand it still continues now.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Quite a few years before I left. Yeah,
before 2011. Do you, with the changes that have happened over the years, and with the Women's Information Service, as it was known as the Women's Switch Information Switchboard, introduced in the late 1970s, we're now coming up for our 40th year. Do you think there is still a need for an information services for women?
I think so.
So why do you think that we should continue with it? What are the really good reasons that you think that it adds?
One of the good things about Women's Information Service was the safety of the service for women and the place where they were accepted and believed for what they were. And quite often it's very difficult when you go to a place for information to find that you're taken seriously and that someone is actually well, not just trying to help you out and give you the information, but also to be supportive of the issues you're confronted with. And I think that's something of all ages.
Yeah. So in 2011 you retired.
Mm-hmm.
Did you continue your involvement with WIS following your retirement?
Not for a year, and after a year I became a family court support volunteer. Yep.
So, and why did you decide to come back and volunteer?
And I heard that they were needing more volunteers, and well, after I settled down after a year of things, I started volunteering in the Dutch nursing home, and I needed something else in my life with a bit more involvement, and yes, and that's what court support does for me. Yeah.
So, what is it about volunteering that you enjoy doing?
Well, you haven't known me when I first came to Australia, for I was very much against volunteering, for I think if women do a proper job, they should be properly paid. And now I find that I actually got quite a bit of satisfaction of my working life. And I want to give something back to the community. The contact with the women in the nursing home is a very different sort of contact. It's more like a gratitude that you take them out and have a chat. But I find in the family court, you can actually be there and do something for someone who needs it very badly at the time. Yeah.
So have a great... I mean, the connection between volunteering in the nursing home and volunteering as you're doing at the court support, there'd be two.
It's far more involved, and it goes deeper than it's. I think it's a good thing. I hope when I get very old that there will be volunteers coming and entertaining me. But it's a different sort of situation, yeah, completely different. And I find the training actually is is very much different. So, yeah.
The training
to be a volunteer with older people, or compared to supporting a woman in the family court, and your background knowledge about the situation. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to go back. To when you were working, I just have one or two more questions that I'd like to ask. And one is around your involvement with at WIS in the community. WIS had outreach services like the rural outreach attendance and field days and talks with community groups. Were you involved in any of those at the time?
I've done quite, we call them WIS talks.
Yes.
And I've done a fair few. We used to go out to community groups, to women's education group and groups. And I think with the women's education, it was a good thing that more and more groups started coming to the Women's Information Service so women could find out the service first, experience the service firsthand, and yeah. It's always that to split because you want to give an outreach and you want to go to the women. But on the other hand, it's a good thing too for women to experience the service firsthand when they come to your service. Yeah.
Earlier we touched on domestic violence, and I understand that during the 1980s that WIS held a phone-in on women's couple of women's issues, but particularly around domestic violence and around housing, parental distress and women and disability. Did you participate at all in any of those phone-ins? Were they
held during... I didn't work at WIS in the 80s. Started working in 1999.
Yes.
And we still had several phone-ins in those days, quite often on a Tuesday evening if we were had just a phone room open to answer the legal phone calls, so the telephones were open. But then it was quite often workers from the services that had requested a phone in that staffed the phones. Yeah. So we did a few sometimes, but
yeah,
most of the time it was the workers themselves that did it.
Okay. Just having a look, I think I covered a lot of the questions I wanted to ask.
The WIS support group you haven't asked about.
That's right, the WIS support group is the other,
See, I have notes.
So I'm glad you've got your notes.
Yeah.
I was just flicking through and thinking, okay, the WIS support group. Can you tell me about the WIS support group?
The WIS support group was a very supportive group of very feisty, a lot of them older women, and they worked so hard making sure the service got the esteem and the continuance that it desperately needed at some stages. And it was a really very helpful sort of thing. So the manager of the day would go to the WIS support group and provide a report on what we'd been doing, for they only met every few months. And they were very interested and made sure that certain programs got implemented. And
And the WIS support group, were they separate to the Women's Information Service? They weren't part of the...
See, the Women's Information Support Group was actually an inheritance from before the Women's Information Service became part of a government department. The Women's Information Switchboard was more of a community group, and that's why they had the support group to make sure that it happened. But gradually over the year we got encapsulated more and more as part of a government service, as part of the Office for Women. And
who was involved in the women's support group during that time? Any key
players? Fliss, I think, and
Fliss Lord.
Yeah, yes. Fliss Lord. But then by her previous name, she was very very involved and made sure that it kept going. But there were, I'm trying to think of their names. I'm not very good at names, I'm afraid.
That's fine.
From those days, I know Molly Brannigan and women like that.
They were very involved. In the women's movement as well.
Mm.
So is there anything else that we haven't covered that you think is important that we should cover? Anything else you want to add?
I think I'm quite happy. Yes. I hope you noticed that I've tried to be very diplomatic and not as outspoken as most of the staff here have known me over the years for. I'm a real Dutchie, very direct, and I find Australian people have a lot of problem with dealing with that.
The directness,
And I know someone like Margaret, for instance, would know how feisty I used to run those family court support trainings. So I've mellowed a fair bit, I must say.
Thank you. Yeah. On the training that you, just to wind up, on the training that you did for the family court, was it a very intensive program?
Yes.
What was the content of the program that you ran?
A lot of it involved, and it's still involved, I think nowadays, was we spent 2 lengthy sessions in the family court, finding out firsthand, what the setup of the court was, how they worked, and several of the higher echelon workers used to tell more about how the family court worked. We had women from the Women's Legal Service, from a domestic violence service, run sessions on domestic violence and the why doesn't she leave and the issues involved with domestic violence. And Women's Legal Service that where legal support could be given. And we also had sessions on child sexual abuse and child abuse in general. And several of the sessions were also about how to deal with the stuff and how to get support when you needed it, and how to make sure you were safe yourself and those sort of things. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Liz, thank you very much for your time. It's been a really informative little interview. Thanks, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I hope you've managed to do it within the 46 minutes, Margaret.
I think we have, yeah. Okay.